Luke chapter 1, okay, is where we're going to be. It's after all that logistics stuff, we're going to come back and just come into his presence. And we're going to look at a little song this morning. Actually, there are five songs in Luke that all surround the coming of Jesus. And we're going to look at one this morning that's on the occasion of a meeting between two pregnant moms. Actually, two pregnant moms that are pregnant by miraculous conceptions, conception miracles. Elizabeth, who's 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary, who is newly pregnant with the Lord Jesus. And they have a meeting, and we'll look at that right now. But I just kind of want to think about like songs and Christmas with you for a minute. We're in that transition. We opened with a Thanksgiving hymn. We're going to close with a Christmas carol today. So this is kind of like the bridge Sunday, right, between like eating too much for Thanksgiving and eating too much for Christmas, okay? So it's just the bridge right here. And as we transition to thinking about Christmas, I noticed on Friday, I was coming back from Southbridge. I'd been up at the YMCA to like swim off some calories. And I was coming down Route 198, and no kidding, 3 out of 4 cars had a North Head Christmas trees on top of them. I'm thinking like Krzyzewski's and Hanson's up here in Woodstock Valley must have been doing like this land office business selling Christmas trees. And people are like getting like all Christmassy and coming out last evening, I noticed, you know, houses of Christmas lights. And I suddenly remembered a song that my dad would like burst into this time of year. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Remember that song? And my dad, he liked to sing like that. In fact, during my middle school age years, it was a source of great like humiliation, because my dad was the only dad of any of my kids I knew that actually like acted out in the presence of their friends. Okay, so like we'd be in the car, my dad would be taking us someplace, and suddenly he would just start like reciting poetry, or he'd burst into song, and he was a real loud whistler, he was really good at it, and he would just, and I'd go, "Dad, come on, you know, none of the other kids have a dad, you know what I'm talking about?" But that song, that stuck, because it just reminded me of like being a kid, and how cool it is to be a kid at Christmas. And, you know, actually as an adult, I kind of wish there could be like more of that, just looking at the lights and going, and just thinking about Jesus and going, and thinking about, you know, just mom's Christmas cookies and just all the stuff, you know, elves and Santas and all the things that kids just love about Christmas. It's such a joyful season for like the little ones. But you got to be honest. I mean, when you get like grown up, it becomes a season like, I got to do this, I got to do this, I got to do this, and I can't believe I spent that much, and how are we going to pay off the credit cards? And it just is a season, right, it can be a season of busy and of burden. And it can also be a season when you go, man, I can't believe we got to go be with, like, who is it, Griswold's cousin? Cousin Eddie, right? I can't believe we got to be with Cousin Eddie because nobody likes him, and man, I just wish this was over. As adults sometimes, right, we can, like, be there. Christmas and the coming of Jesus is the most joyful event imaginable. When Jesus comes into an individual life like mine or yours, it's the most joyful event imaginable. And I want to look at this meeting between Mary and Elizabeth, because it basically brings us some lessons in joy that I think we can put to work this Christmas, even this morning. So why don't we open the Word of God, Luke chapter 1. I'm going to be reading from verse 39. Would you stand with me, please? Luke 1, verse 39. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, as we open it, I pray, Lord, that my words, Lord, would just be used by you to bring your word into the hearts of these precious people here gathered. And I pray, Lord, that your word by the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, would just light us up with joy this morning. Teach us by it. Change us. Refresh and excite us by your word this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you please be seated? Okay, so there are lessons of joy in this, and kind of the centerpiece, of course, is a baby in the womb actually leaps for joy. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But first, we need to kind of set up what's going on here. If you've been with us, we've been working our way through the Gospel of Luke. And the last two sessions both involve the angel Gabriel visiting people. In the first, angel Gabriel visits a priest named Zechariah who's married to a woman named Elizabeth and tells her, you're going to have a son, and you can name him John, and we know who he is. He's John the Baptist. He's going to be a prophet. And then in the next story, which we looked at last Sunday, the same angel Gabriel visits Mary, a young virgin who's engaged to a guy named Joseph, and says, Mary, you're going to have a child, and he is going to be named Jesus, which means Yahweh is salvation. He's going to be the Savior of the world, and he's going to be the Son of God, and you get to be his mom. And at the end of that exchange, the angel says to Mary that even your relative Elizabeth, who is old and who was said to be barren, is carrying a child, and she's in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Remember that? And that says here now, where we begin now, in those days. So at that moment, Mary goes, I got to go see this. She goes, I have to go because I just found out that like this angel that told me about a conception miracle has already wrought a conception miracle, and he has done it in my older cousin. So I got to go. And so that's what it says. In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. By the way, that says from Nazareth where she lives, she's got like a 75-mile walk. So it's like, okay, kids, we're going to walk to Boston. What you need to envision here is probably a young woman, 14, 13, 15 years old, who's engaged, and she now needs to go like 75 miles away. I don't think she went alone, but there's no detail here about how that happens. But this is like a serious commitment to go, and she goes to the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and it says that when she got there, she greeted Elizabeth. She greeted Elizabeth. Now, when we think of greetings, we think of like something like, hey, or like a little fist bump or something, right? When I was at the Naval Academy, there was a janitor my sophomore year, and we gave him a nickname. His nickname was K-How-You. K-How-You. That's because whenever you saw him, he greeted you by saying, K-How-You. Now, let me translate. That's Southern. What he's saying is, I'm okay, how are you? K-How-You. So that's what we call him, K-How-You. So when he came down the hall, he said, K-How-You? He'd go, K-How-You, right back. So we greeted. But it was like trivial, right? It was fun. It was just kind of like, just checking in. In the ancient Near East, when you went to visit someone and you greeted them, it was a much more lengthy undertaking. Because basically, it wasn't just a shallow, hey, Liz, how are you? Good to see you, Mary. You want to have lunch? No. It would be basically, I've come this way to see you. Tell me what's going on in your life. And so this greeting would have been like, a couple hours of exchanging, like kind of bringing you up to date. I mean, it's the stuff we do, when we're texting and Facebooking and talking on the telephone to stay in touch with loved ones, except they couldn't do that. So they had to like bring them up to speed. Well, Elizabeth would not have a reason to know that Mary knew that what had happened to her. So she would like start telling her story. Say, you won't believe what happened. It's, Zechariah, his division is going to the temple because it's their turn, and they cast lots for who's going to burn incense on that day. And like this once-of-a-lifetime thing happens. Zechariah, like the lottery is cast for him. And when he goes in to burn the incense, he's in the temple burning incense, and at the right side of the altar of incense, an angel of the Lord appears and introduces himself as Gabriel. Gabriel, by the way, is Hebrew. It means strong or mighty of God. And he tells him the most amazing thing. He says, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a son. And Elizabeth says, look at me. Like, I'm old. And we couldn't have children when I was in my childbearing years. And so we prayed for that, but we, like, gave up. And now the prayer's answered. And Zechariah says, what? He said, yeah, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be an amazing son. He is going to be great, and he is going to come in the power and the spirit of Elijah, and he is going to lead, he's going to turn the children of Israel back to their God, and he's going to draw fathers to come back to their children, and he's going to cause people to step into the righteous obedience of wisdom, and he's going to like change everything because he's actually the one that is going to come before the Messiah. That's what Zechariah was told. By the way, Mary, something funny happened. Zechariah didn't actually buy it, and the angel actually made him mute, like installed a zipper and zipped it shut. So Zechariah can't talk right now. I'm so glad you're here. I have somebody to talk to. So she tells the story, and then she goes, now the incredible thing is what the angel said was true. Because, I mean, look at me. I'm 6 months pregnant. That would have been the first part of the greeting. See, Mary would have deferred to her because she was the elder of the two. And then Mary would have said, or Elizabeth would have said, so Mary, like, what's up with you? And Mary's going, you're not going to believe this. But that angel Gabriel guy, guess who else he visited? He came to see me. And when he came to see me, you know what he told me? He told me, I'm going to have a baby, but I can't because I've never been with a man. So guess what? We're talking about like not one miracle baby, but two miracle babies. And he said, I'm going to have a child, and this child is going to be named Jesus. He's going to be the Savior of the world. He is going to be called Great. He's going to be called the Son of the Most High because he is the Son of God. And I asked the angel, how is this going to work? And the angel said, well, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you, and the power of the Most High is going to overshadow you. And that happened. And now, where I'm going with this is, you got these two women that have these remarkable things happen to them. It's like they're like on parallel tracks, right? Like parallel paths. And you know, if you remember from you know, like, I don't know, junior high or high school math, right? Parallel lines, they don't intersect. But these parallel stories do because they're cousins. And when they come together, I'm going to offer to you that they have like an exploding, like, me too, you too moment. Like, that happened to me, what happened to me too? That happened to you too? And the joy that they had, it just amplifies. And so this is like the first joy lesson here, is joy shared is joy multiplied. Can you imagine the excitement of these two women? Are you kidding me? It's like the angel came to each of you and we couldn't have kids and now we're having kids. It's like, just imagine. Now, the Spirit of God is at work here too, right? Remember, Mary was told by the angel that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And it says in this text that the Holy Spirit fills Elizabeth. So the Spirit of God is at work here. And let me tell you something that happens. You know, when one of you who is a believer has the Holy Spirit and have had an experience of the Lord that brings you some joy, when you share that with somebody else, filled by that same Holy Spirit that's also received some joy, then the you too, me too thing happens and the joy multiplies. This is a powerful lesson for the body of Christ. This is why it's so important for us to like share testimonies and share stories with one another, is because the joy that we have from the Lord, the Spirit's at work. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? The first is love and the second is joy, right? You want to share joy? You want to have joy this Christmas? Start talking to your brothers and sisters in Christ about Jesus in your life. And you know, all those like busy stuff out there, that will like kind of move away and the joy will be multiplied. See, because joy shared is joy multiplied. God's working in you. Talk about it. And you'll be delighted to see what happens and put smiles on our faces and actually makes us jump for joy, which gets me to the second of these joy lessons. And it's quite simply that it is Jesus coming that brings the new and higher joys. It's Jesus is he's the source of the joy, right? He's the main event. Now what happens here is, I mentioned the Holy Spirit's at work. Back in verse 1 of chapter 5, Zechariah is told that this kid that Elizabeth is going to have, John, that the Holy Spirit is going to be in him even from his mother's womb. Now, I think that's like not real common, right? I mean, for believers, we get the Holy Spirit, we come to faith, and in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit kind of comes and goes and so forth. But this guy, John, is actually going to have the Holy Spirit in the womb. Now, hold on to that thought for a minute, because it's what results in him jumping for joy here is, I mean, an unborn baby, right? is actually being informed by the Holy Spirit here and is responding. But before we go there, the way we learn about this is when Elizabeth hears the greeting of Mary. Verse 41, the baby leapt in her womb. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. And verse 42, it says, and she exclaimed with a loud cry. Now, what follows, like the back half of verse 42 through verse 45, in my Bible is in quotations. And what it actually is, it's the first of five songs of praise in Luke's gospel. Now, something that's really cool about Luke's gospel is that he basically incorporates the stories of people you don't read about in the other gospels. And what the power of that is we see so much about how God interacts with people and people interact with God that we learn from these little cameo appearances of these people, like Zechariah and Elizabeth and a guy named Simeon. I'll mention him in a minute. But when the news of Jesus coming arrives, the response, and there are five of them, are songs of praise. And they all have that in common. They're all about the coming of Jesus. And the one we're looking at right now is Elizabeth. It's the first of these songs. The next is actually, in the same meaning, Mary's response. Verse 46 says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. So the first is Elizabeth, then Mary, and then Zechariah has his own song of praise. Every single one of them is on the occasion of receiving the news that Jesus is here. And then the fourth song is basically, it's one you're probably familiar with, glory to God, right? It's like the glory to God bunch, the heavenly hosts, the angels, right? Saying glory to God, right? Peace on earth, goodwill towards men, right? That is glory to God in the highest. That is the fourth of those. And then the last one is when they take the baby Jesus to the temple on the eighth day to be dedicated. This guy named Simeon, this is the only place we meet him, and he basically bursts forth in song also. And the centerpiece of his song is, my eyes have beheld the Lord's salvation, when he sees Jesus. So the deal is, when the news of Jesus shows up, just like my dad breaking out in a song, these people break out in a song. It's because it is the greatest joyful news there is. I mean, it's why we sing joy to the world. Now, when Elizabeth starts, she says to Mary, blessed are you among women. The word for blessed there actually is a word that means like the pronouncement of good words. And so it's like, you know, when Gabriel said to her, right, that you have found favor with God, that you are favored, the idea that you've received grace, those are words of blessing from the Lord. And then these prophetic words about who your son is going to be, they are words of promise and hope. So when God does it to us, that's to be blessed. It's a pronouncement. And likewise, blessed is the fruit of your womb, the baby within you, the Lord Jesus. Yeah, he has been spoken of since the garden, right? You know, when God, you know, tells the serpent, right, that one will come that will crush your head. Yeah, that's Jesus coming. And then all through the Old Testament, the prophecies about a Savior, about a king, about a ruler, about one that would set God's people free from sin. And then now in the New Testament, it unfolds. This is the one, this is God's anointed one that he spoke so highly of. And when he's baptized, the voice from heaven, the Father says, behold, my beloved Son, in him I am well pleased. Those are words of blessing. So that's what Elizabeth is excited about is, you know, clearly God has said words over you and over your son. And here's the deal. This is, you can remember this like all the time. If God says it, it happens. Right? When God speaks. In fact, everything that God does is initiated by his word. He said, let there be light. He said, you know, Jesus, time to go to earth. And that happened. And he said over you words of blessing, like, I want you to meet Jesus. Here is my word about him and how much he loves you and what he did for you that you might be right. Those are words of God that result in reality. So that's what Elizabeth's excited about. And then a response. This is like the coolest thing. It says that she exclaims, bless you among women, blesses the fruit of your womb. Verse 43, and why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? See, like the social order here is, she is the elder. When Mary showed up to greet, she would have deferred. And now she finds out that this Mary is carrying the Son of God, and Elizabeth immediately just steps into humility. That's how she responds to the news that Jesus is there. She just steps out of pride. And you know, this is like so not like us. I mean, look, a couple years ago, I joined the cult of grandparenthood, right? You know, where you get the brand new grandkid, and then you want to show off the pictures, right? And now that I am a grandparent, I'm on the receiving end of this, you know, where somebody has a grandkid. Let me show you the picture. And so, isn't this the handsomest little boy you've ever seen? And of course, I'm thinking, actually, the little kid kind of looks like a reptile. But yeah, he's really handsome. But now let me show you my granddaughters, right? I mean, isn't that how we are? So here's Elizabeth, right? I mean, here she is in her old age, and she has got this incredible news. By the way, in that time and in that place, to be unable to bear children would have been presumed to be evidence of something wrong. Something's wrong. There's some sin in your life. You're under some kind of curse from God. So a woman that could not bear children would have been, like, socially, like, shunned. She would have been feeling reproof and reproach. And it even says that back in the earlier text, you know, that finally the Lord has removed the reproach from my life by giving me a son. So her news that day when Mary shows up is the biggest news in the whole world until Jesus. And then when her baby leaps for joy in her womb and she hears this news that Mary is carrying the Son of the living God, her best news becomes old news because Jesus is such incredibly great news. And so Jesus steps into that humility and says, man, how did I get blessed enough to have, like, my cousin be the mother of Jesus and have her actually come to me? And so, for behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And remember, the lesson we're on here is Jesus coming brings new and higher joys. When it says he leaped for joy, the word for joy there is not used greatly in the New Testament. This particular word actually means, like, excessive joy. It means joy that results in, like, involuntary physical activity. Okay, so the baby literally, like, leaped for joy. You know what I think of is like game shows. I think that when those producers that make the game shows, when they interview the people to be contestants, they always make sure, like, for every episode, they get that one that basically just, like, squeals and giggles and jumps up and down and stuff. Like if they win stuff, their arms start flapping. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not going to demonstrate, but you know what I'm talking about, right? Okay? You know, they just basically, they have, like, this joy explosion happens, and it's, like, manifest, and people can see it. That's what this baby does. See, because that's the way the news of Jesus actually strikes people. If they get it, I mean, they actually know what Jesus is doing, they explode for joy. Jesus is here. Joy lights up. I had an interesting experience of it the day before yesterday. I got a call that Lennox Broder, some of you know her, she's been battling cancer. She's very ill. And I got a call on Friday that had two parts of it. One is that she actually married into a Catholic family, but she's not Catholic. And so she actually had made her wishes known that she wanted a funeral here and wanted me to officiate at the funeral. So I went over to be with her and be with the family, and we had a time of opening up the Word of God and praying. And Lennox was very, very sick, pancreatic cancer. And I didn't expect that she would last very long. Well, she didn't. She passed about 20 hours after I met with her. Yesterday morning she passed. But when I was with the family, and we were thinking about, like, a service and said, well, she's not going to last long, and so, you know, it would seem we're going to probably end up with a service during the season of Advent. And so one of her daughters said, I know this may not sound okay. This is a Catholic lady, right? We're probably not used to much flexibility in a worship service. And she said, my mom loved to sing and she loved Christmas. Would it be okay if we sang Joy to the World? And I said, I thought for a minute, I said, oh yeah. See, because Jesus coming in the face of death, that's the most joyful news there is. Because Jesus is the answer to the greatest enemy we have, which is death. And for those who have Jesus, death is just passage into eternal life. It's just going from this place, which is a mess, to paradise. And so the coming of Jesus is the greatest news there is for anyone facing their death, their own or a loved one's. It's the greatest news there is. And so, yeah, joy to the world. That belongs at the funeral of someone who claims Jesus as her own. It's the greatest news there is. Now, I don't know if that's gripping your heart, but it's gripping mine. And, you know, it's making me wonder. It's making me wonder, like, why I don't have like involuntary hand flapping, squealing and screaming, jumping up and down stuff, just at the news that Jesus came. Because that's what we're celebrating right now. What we're celebrating right now is not, how many, are there Black Friday, like, are Black Friday trauma victims here today? There's one there, okay? You admit, exactly. It's the first step, yeah? Admitting you have a problem? Yeah. That stuff's nothing compared to the news that Jesus came. Because when Jesus comes, he brings new and higher joys. Now there's a third lesson here. It's captured in Elizabeth's closing words. She says, "And blessed is she who believed," verse 45, "that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment. I want to talk a little vocabulary, a little grammar. First, vocabulary. That word blessed, it's actually different than the first word blessed. The first is like the pronouncement of good words. This one is actually like the state of someone that has received blessing. And when I went to seminary, and I told you about this guy before, one of my classmates was a very energetic, very bright, exceptionally creative and humorous young youth pastor, guy like in his mid-20s. His name was Sean, and one of the classes we shared was Greek. So we're like learning Greek, and we had to like memorize a big stack of flashcards, like memorizing Greek vocabulary. This was one of the words we had to memorize. And Sean came up with little mnemonic devices, you know, like memory aids to use. Like for instance, the Greek word for face is prosopon. And so he basically said, when you wash your face, you prosopon your face. That's how you remember it's prosopon, okay? And still remember, and he had some others that were humorous. But this one in particular, the Greek word for blessed is makarios. And he said, well, I know how to remember this, you know. And he starts going like this, and 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 like this. And goes like this, and goes, hey, Macarena, right? Okay? And that's how you remember what this word means. But you know, it's just a picture. Like, when do we do that goofy thing? We do that goofy thing when we go to a wedding reception these days, right? I mean, I think it was popular when the song was out there, like in 1991 or something like that, but now they still do that at wedding receptions, right? Along with that dumb, you know, the bride cuts the cake, I know, all that stuff, right? But we do it when we are celebrating, when we are in a place of joy. That's when we do it. And that's actually the word that is here. It means that kind of joyful, expressive happiness. Yeah, that belongs to the one having believed. The one who believed. See, belief and faith is actually the portal through which we step into the blessing of great joy. That's what Elizabeth's saying. Blessed is she who believed. Now here's the grammar piece. It says, blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. You may be looking at a different translation in your lap. To translate it precisely, it says, blessed is she, the one having believed, because there will be a fulfillment. See, it's not that she believed that there would be. She didn't believe in the outcome. She believed in the message and the messenger. She believed that God had said it. It wasn't that her trust was in the outcome. The joy comes because what he said actually happens. See, this is what happens to us. You know, the Lord says, he says things to you and me like, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then you get in the darkest hour and you discover he's with you. And when you discover that he was good for the promise, you go, wow, this Jesus thing in my relationship, it's like real. And the response we have to that, besides gratitude, is joy. And so that's what's being suggested here, right? Is she believed. When the angel said, you're going to have a child, she goes, okay. And the evidence of that, by the way, is the way she responds. Right? After Gabriel says in I know this is last week's message, but in verse 37, he says, for nothing will be impossible with God. You remember what she says? She said, well, behold, I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said. Or behold, I'm the servant of the Lord. May it be to me according to your words. So she just steps into faith. Now, this is just like an important thing, right? It's the sequence here, okay? The faith precedes the joy, right? You don't choose to believe because you feel good about it. You feel good about it because you believed. That makes sense? I mean, it's like if you're going to go into a dark room and there's a light switch by the door. You don't turn on the light because you know what's in the room. You know what's in the room because you turned on the light. That's the way faith is. When we hear the good news of Jesus and we go, yes, when we believe and receive it, then the light comes on and all the rest of it unfolds. And that's where we find the love and the joy and the peace and all of the blessings. It's on the other side of throwing the switch. I'm sharing this with a room full of people here on Sunday morning who probably most of you have turned that switch on and you believe. But I'm offering this to you now, just thinking about this season. See, because next Saturday there will be a funeral. There will be people to pray about. There will be people that will hear the good news of Jesus. There will be people that will be invited to believe, and we will host them to a reception, and there'll be people there that will be waiting on them. That will be us that are serving them and so forth. God can use us in that setting to help someone decide to reach over and turn on the faith switch and step into the joy. See, so the joy that when we share it is multiplied, the joy of Jesus coming that brings new and higher joys, and the joy that comes to one having believed. And that's going, and we're going to repeat that like the next day with the Tree of Life thing we do here, and then 2 days later with all the people we'll host here for a luncheon, and those high school kids, it's very cool. They come and they sing, and we serve dinner, and we make sure that we proclaim the gospel to high school kids who are on the clock, if you will. We get a chance to proclaim the gospel to them before they get on the bus and go. Pray for that. Pray for them. And if you're available to come work the party, there are two ways to do that. Bring your friends and sit with them, or be waiting table and, you know, giving, like, you know, contemporary greetings to high school guys, you know, fist bumping and so forth. And that, and more. I mean, I talked about the other stuff, but this is like just kind of core to what this Christmas season does, because it does crack open the husk on hard hearts. I mean, for goodness sake, there's like, you know, there's like Christ on signs all over the place put up by secular people right now, right? So hearts are more inclined to heaven right now. Don't miss the opportunity. And for all of us, don't let the world rob your joy this Christmas. See, he's the source of all the joy. Share your joy with other Christians that you might be reminded and that your joy might be multiplied. And I mean, it sounds kind of trite, you know, like Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, yeah, he is. Don't let the other stuff distract you. Don't let your family's expectations about exactly how the cookies are supposed to be, or what time dinner's going to be, or what kind of presents are supposed to be under your tree or somebody else's. Don't let that stuff distract you. That's all good if it's celebratory. But if it's a burden and it's not celebratory, set it aside and go to where we need to go to celebrate, which is to him and to praise him, because he's the one that will give the joy. Not the stuff of Christmas, the person of Christmas, our Lord Jesus. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we just thank you so much for these words. It's a simple little story, Lord. But it's an incredible story of how you work in the lives of people. You're working our lives right now, Lord. You're doing things right now in our lives that will bring salvation to people around us, people we might not know. Perhaps people that we just had Thanksgiving with a couple days ago, Lord, you're at work in our lives to bring them the good news of Jesus. I would ask, Lord, that you would make us a people filled with joy, overflowing with joy. We have every reason for joy, and Lord, the joy is just a fruit of your spirit, so would you help us to be surrendered to him this season? That we might be filled to overflowing with joy. That we might be the ones in the checkout line that aren't cranky because the line's long. That we might be the ones that slow down and take time for the people around us to tell them good news. News that brings smiles. News that brings involuntary arm flapping and jumping up and down, Lord. We think of the baby, unborn baby John in the womb, leaping for joy at the news that Messiah was coming. May we leap with joy. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.